This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
The second hour of this live Saturday episode of the program. The number, if you want to join us here, is 603-283-6160. Here tonight, Ian.
Big with Mountaineer.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass. Of course, you can join us online anytime you want. We do have our own social media platform. And you can access that by going to social.freetalklive.com. That is where you can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners, as well as some of the hosts of the show have accounts there. So head over to social.freetalklive.com as we go back to the phones here. Ricky is still with us, calling from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Ricky. What were you calling about tonight?
Thank you there, Brother Ian. Just wanted to say one thing. As far as the quality of that number that I was given, it's exactly the same quality as I'm hearing right now.
So that is not true. Oh, you're on your phone, right? So yes, that would be true. Yeah. But okay, you're talking about the listen lines, and I did test them during the break, and the main ones that we list on our website are still working. But the thing is, sometimes, depending on where you're calling in from, these companies, Captain, you tried to figure out how these companies make money.
I couldn't find anything.
You're a telephony guy, so you've worked in the industry for a long time, and you don't know, and you couldn't figure it out. But I'm pretty sure they got to be making some kind of revenue off of these somehow, and they're not inserting advertisements in, so it's not an ad model. I think it's based on some obscure governmental, some old telephone rule that the government still have in effect, that the average user doesn't have to pay for long distance directly anymore. But at some level, I think some kind of, internal phone company thing is paying for long distance. And so that's somehow how these people make their money. But anyway, they're always assigning new numbers. And sometimes they have, if you call the number with a cell phone, you might get redirected to a different number, whereas if you call it from a landline, they might just go ahead and play you the thing you're looking for. So it seems to depend on the type of phone that you call from. Anyway, what are you calling about, Ricky, for real tonight?
No doubt. Well, it was Thursday night, and I heard a name from the past mentioned, and what happened to him, and that was Ralph the Racist.
Yes, that's right. The guy who was obsessed with Obama, he used to call years ago, Obama! And he has really a character that called him
Obama.
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, here's what I remember. Now, I remember, I estimate, because I'm not on the internet still yet, but nonetheless, I can't check. But it was about the middle of the year, give or take. Ricky from the Commonwealth had about a month-long feud with Ralph the Racist. Now, here's from memory how this went. I went after Ralph the Racist because he was a racist, plus his Obama, and he was just stupid. Well, that went back and forth several calls, but when it started to get really hot was he got the brilliant idea in his infinite wisdom where he's going to pick on my Southern Cross and the Confederacy and all that happy stuff. Ultimately, what happened is because I had talked about Wee Hawken before, and I referenced that, and he was from New Jersey, and I recommended a verbal duel. And
what is a verbal duel?
Well, I said, what I recommended was a three-round debate with timing. Now, the only thing that changed with that is Darryl changed the time. So it was basically about, for example, this is close, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute each for three
rounds.
And
what was the debate about? What was the subject?
And then the closing 30 seconds. Well, I went after Ralph. It was basically, not only the race issue, but it was basically loser leaves show. Now, you said no to that. That's basically the premise of the debate. You said no.
And what was Daryl the judge, our former co-host Daryl Perry?
Yeah,
was he the judge?
He had a mute button. And what Ralph did was when the first question came out, okay, and that was the thing. There was questions, you know. And the first question came out, I was under time. Well, Ralph copied me. So basically, Ralph copied me.
I don't think we need a whole recap of this debate.
And the story. Here's what happened to him. It was after that, you know, and unfortunately they put it on Facebook. Four people voted, two for Ralph, two for me. Fine. What happened is a call came in sometime after that. This next call from Ralph. And all of a sudden, he was, I know you were on that night. And he said, oh, go, baby, go, Ricky, Confederacy. And he's saying all this stuff. Here he met up with some of the boys.
The boys?
Well, obviously, I have a feeling that somebody might have knew him or may have heard of this, because all of a sudden he's so pro-Confederacy. And the man was totally scared. You even commented on it, how some of these people in the rural areas, you know, and the funny thing after that, that was kind of like the end of Ralph. Ralph kind of just disappeared soon after that. And I was on till the beginning of 18.
So you think you ran him off with your debate?
Either that or I hate to say it. Maybe Ralph did something more stupid than whatever caused him to get on him in the first place.
Could be. Thank you, Ricky, for the call tonight. Appreciate it. Let's go to Sarah. She's in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead. Sarah, going once.
Sarah
going twice. All right. She'll probably call back. So the number here, if you want to join the show, is 603-283-6160. Peoples Mountaineer, you wanted to talk about the Ripple ruling here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been following this pretty closely?
Oh, yeah. So first and foremost.
What is Ripple?
Well, okay. So Ripple is, for all intents and purposes, from everything that I can find out about this thing. So there's XRP, which is a token that, if there has ever been a good argument for tokens being securities, it's Ripple. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, they have just had their fingers in the pie at every step on this, and they have been completely invested in making sure that this coin does well, and everything seems to be oriented around whether the XRP token does things, and that's the basis of this company. So if anything, there was a good argument for, oh, well, you're just getting around the idea of, like, releasing stocks or bonds by making these into a cryptocurrency, it was this case. And I was just absolutely certain that this was not going to go the way I wanted to, that the judge would sooner or later rule, yes, this was a security, you are guilty of these securities laws violations, and the SEC can govern what you're doing. And then all of a sudden, no, it went the other way. And like,
well, halfway.
Halfway?
The Ripple ruling was divided, as I understand it. The Ripple ruling was that the judge ruled that they were indeed guilty of selling unregistered securities, and they will be paying probably very hefty fines for that. But on the other hand, the judge ruled that it wasn't a security when, let's see here, it said it did not violate federal securities law by selling its XRP token on public exchanges. So that was the big relief for a lot of the people that have been passing this news around, meaning, and which is similar to what the other judge said in the library case about library, was if you bought it on an exchange, that was not a securities trade.
Mm.
But if it was sold by Ripple, then it was.
Mm.
Same thing with the library case, as I understand it.
Well, what in the heck sense does that make?
It doesn't. It doesn't make any sense. And in fact, some people are saying that there's going to be an appeal by the Securities and Exchange Commission on the part that they lost, quote unquote, here. And again, they did win part of the case, and they're likely going to have millions of dollars in payouts from Ripple on this one. According to a guy on Twitter, he says, I reviewed the district court ruling on Ripple, and it rests on very shaky ground. Expect an appeal. He said the district court found that Ripple's sale of XRP, which is Ripple, to institutional investors did amount to an unlawful security sale. Ripple presumably received $1 billion from these sales, which they will be required to likely, quote-unquote, disgorge. So that's the final phase of the civil case that we just saw Library go through is the penalties and quote-unquote disgorgement.
Mm.
And plus penalties and fines. So they'll have to hand over what they made from those sales to the SEC, and then on top of that, additional penalties and fines to the SEC based on their loss in the case. But the court also found that in the context of the programmatic sale of Ripple to random people, that Ripple did not constitute an investment contract under the Howey test, and thus it was not a security.
Hmm.
But he says he thinks the court's reasoning is weak, and he will explain why. Howey, he says, requires three things. A scheme where one, A, invests his money, B, in a common enterprise, and C, is led to expect profits solely from the efforts of the promoter or a third party. He says the court took issue with prong three. Why is that? Here's what the court said when it did find an investment contract with respect to the institutional investors. Quote, from Ripple's communications marketing campaign and the nature of the institutional sales, reasonable investors would understand that Ripple would use the capital received from its institutional sales to improve the market for XRP and develop uses for the XRP ledger, thereby increasing the value of the XRP. So that was the reasoning behind why, when they sold to institutional investors, that it was indeed a security, quote unquote. He says it sounds a lot like what the programmatic buyers would have expected as well. So why the difference? The court found significant that buyers couldn't know who was selling them the XRP, meaning if they were buying on an exchange, they didn't know that they were funding, and they probably weren't directly funding Ripple if they're buying on an exchange. They're probably getting it from other people that want to sell their Ripple. Thus, they couldn't have any expectation that it was going to fund the enterprise, which is what the court ruled, quote, indeed, Ripple's programmatic sales were blind bid-ask transactions, and programmatic buyers could not have known if their payments or money went to Ripple or any other seller of XRP. But this analyst says, why should this matter under the Howey test? The question is not whether it's going to fund the common enterprise, but whether they can, quote, expect profits from the efforts of a third party. And if the institutional investors expected profits from the sale, why wouldn't the regular people buying them on the exchanges? So he's saying that he thinks the SEC will have success if they appeal this decision.
Why does the government have anything to do with any of this anyway?
Because they say so.
They want to
and
rule the money world.
If you disagree.
Okay, so other than that, there's no like logical or empirical reason for them to be involved in any of this.
So the propagandistic reason would be this. You would not be able to have anything if the government were not securing your right to property. And since the government is keeping you safe from all those other countries and all those non-country dangers, and it's keeping your property, therefore they get to say which rules you have to follow.
Sure. I understand that, right? So what I'm seeing here is a pattern in all of these crypto cases where no victim, no crime.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Well, and that's very much the case. There is no actual victim to any of this.
Except for Ripple and Library.
Right.
Well,
right,
yeah, they're being victimized by the government.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, by the thugs.
Right. Losing a bunch of money,
losing
their livelihood, taking their businesses away, affecting their families.
Ripple's a bigger organization than Library, mm-hmm. so it'll be interesting to see if they survive this one. They might be able to survive it.
Wasn't the knock against Ripple that they were already sort of in bed with the big banks
That was the whole point of Ripple, was to get in bed with the big
absolutely.
Banks.
A big part of this whole project was to start experimentation on central bank digital currency platforms.
And so now we suddenly see government being a bit easier on them than the rest of the cryptocurrencies they're prosecuting, people involved in cryptocurrencies that they've been
after. You think they're going easy on them?
Oh, yeah.
By way of comparison.
I mean,
Ripple?
Oh, yeah. If you compare how the Library trial went with how the Ripple trial's gone so far, they've at least gotten halfway easier, obviously.
Hmm.
Now, one of the...
I'm not sure. These rulings sound similar to me.
Really?
Yeah. You've got in the Library case, the judge said he would not rule on whether Library is a security. And similarly here, the next point here from this guy, he says the court expressly acknowledges it does not reach the question of whether secondary sales constitutes securities. So that sounds kind of similar to me.
Well, but this judge did rule that wasn't illegal. Did they not? that when the XRP token was sold on exchanges, that did not violate securities law. Whereas in Library, they didn't rule that did not violate that rule. They said, we are not ruling on that subject.
The Library case said holding or purchasing Library coins for consumptive purposes is okay. So that can mean that buying on an exchange for quote-unquote consumptive purposes is fine.
So for consumptive purposes.
Yeah, I wonder what their definition of consumptive purposes is.
I guess spending it on the Library platform, for instance, you're using it as a utility token in that particular way, which is the intention behind it.
Yeah, but there's no consumptive purpose to Ripple.
There's no way of using that
for a particular usage.
What was that's the specific true. Piece that caused the bump in Ripple and the rest of the crypto market? The ruling came down, but there was a specific piece to it that everybody pointed to, like, this is why there's a bump in the market.
It's because you can buy it on exchanges, according to this ruling.
Okay.
So we may see some exchanges that had dropped Ripple pick it back up.
They already have.
Oh, really?
Several of them. Yeah.
Yeah, like same day, Coinbase announced that they would and then did put it back on, and Gemini announced that they were considering.
Huh.
Like day of is what happened there.
According to the story here at Reuters, the ruling by District Judge Annalisa Torres was the first win for a crypto company in a case brought by the Securities and Exchange Commission, though it did give the SEC a partial victory. And while the decision is specific to the facts of the case, it will likely provide ammunition for other crypto firms battling the SEC over whether their products fall under the regulator's jurisdiction. The SEC spokesbureaucrat said the agency was pleased with part of the ruling in which the judge held that Ripple violated securities law by selling XRP directly to sophisticated investors. It is possible for the ruling to be appealed once the final judgment is issued, or if the appeal is allowed beforehand. The SEC spokesbureaucrat said they were reviewing the decision. Ripple's chief executive, Brad Garlinghouse, in an interview called the ruling, quote, a huge win for Ripple, but more importantly, for the industry overall in the U.S. But what this guy is saying on Twitter, and his name, give him credit, is Brian Jacotot, BryanJacotot, is he thinks that if the SEC appeals this, and why wouldn't they?
Right.
You know, they have an unlimited budget.
Oh, yeah.
So they didn't get the full ruling in their favor, so they can appeal the thing that didn't go in their favor. He believes that the appeals court will reverse this decision and rule in favor of the SEC.
And what got released in the news, at any rate, immediately after this court ruling was released, was that the judge had ruled that XRP was not a security. So that's, to answer your question, Captain, that is what caused the massive pump in the market.
Right.
Was that, okay, XRP is not a security. And if XRP is not a security, then you have a really, really hard time arguing that anything else is.
Right.
And it certainly helped matters that this was determined in New York's court.
Oh, was
so,
it?
Yeah, so the most restrictive in terms of cryptocurrency jurisdiction had determined that this, which was, I mean, if you were going to make a case for anything being a security, this was probably your best bet.
Right.
And even in this case, the judge had said that this was not a security. So that was really the
under
news that
certain
everything
circumstances.
Mm.
But well, it was a security, they said, when they sold it to institutional investors.
All this gyration with the SEC and these court cases really just makes the solution clear, and that is that all cryptocurrencies and all cryptocurrency, we'll call them businesses or utilities, if you will, need to be decentralized autonomous organizations.
Well, yeah, that's true. Remember,
because they can. Like, here is a brand new technology that has the ability to exist without permission, and we have a whole bunch of human beings running around going, please, master, please tell me how to do my thing so I can do it without you persecuting. No, don't do that. Employ the crypto enthusiasts, the old, cypherpunks, the developers. Employ them to build a DAO to accomplish the task you want to attack, and take a page out of Satoshi's book and put it out in the wilderness.
But that's the thing. Ripple's never going to do that because right. they're in search of major
then
profits.
Let it die.
I agree. Let it die. But they're in search of major profits, so they need to have a centralized organization so they can have their CEO put a suit on and go and meet these bankers and try to sell them on their product. So Ripple's never going to go in a decentralized way. And I agree right. with you. If they yeah. if they go down for it, then that's fine.
Well, but that's in that is, of course, the opposite desire of all of the financial people in the U.S. So what they want that permission to come from the government so that they can start investing in this mm-hmm. without being concerned that they're going to go to jail for it.
Yeah.
Now, a huge thing that this all seems to turn on, though, is the, so this, okay, well, we've got this Howey test for what is and isn't a security, but the thing that hasn't been dealt with directly and absolutely needs to is the question of, very simply, if this is sufficiently decentralized, then can we say that it has this third party that's causing all of the increase in value? Now, if we don't add that, if we don't add the fact that, like, look, you have to be able to point somewhere to this is the entity that is increasing the value of the thing, if we don't have that change to the Howey test, then the SEC will be able to run absolutely everything that exists.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. So, like, a bottle of wine, for example. Mm-hmm. Now, if I hold on to this bottle of wine and turn it, you know, then it will increase in value.
Good chance of it, yeah.
And, I mean, it won't exactly be my efforts that made this bottle of wine increase mm-hmm. in its value. Well, isn't that a security? All of a sudden, my bottle of wine is a security?
They could make the argument.
Right. Whereas, if you go, now, wait a second, that's not increasing because there's some wine bottle corporation that is increasing the hype or offering something in exchange for these bottles of wine. What it is just the global market is desiring that more as time passes. So since it's a fully decentralized increase in the value, then we can't actually regulate that.
No, it's just that they don't want to. It's just that they want to go after cryptocurrency, and they don't want to go after, say, wine bottles or other collectibles like ties, Beanie Babies or magic cards or whatever.
Yeah.
In fact, I've heard somebody say the reason why the company Wizards of the Coast, which is owned by Hasbro, which does the magic cards, they won't ever make any kind of statement about, well, these could go up in value if you get this right. new set over time. It might go up in value because then they're, you know, they're worried.
Even though they regularly do.
That they do they really?
Yeah. So like,
I thought they didn't.
No, no. I bought boxes, like full sets of yeah. Magic Gathering cards. You know, they come out, they usually have some sort of a deal, you get them for like $99 or yeah. something. And then, like, if they're a good set or they're popular, they will go up in value in a year or two, right? So I was able to buy, you know, I have 5 or 6 boxes.
But they said that?
No, they never said it.
That's what I'm saying.
But I'm just saying.
Even though they regularly do go up in value.
Regularly do go up in value, okay. not yeah, they regularly say
right,
it.
They right, don't yeah. say it for right, a right. reason because right. they don't want to be targeted as selling
right.
securities, even though we're just talking about trading cards. There's more coming up on this Ripple case. What does it actually mean? Is this quote-unquote good news actually going to help the other companies that are embroiled in these suits? More coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
U.S. USA News update. A suspect is on the run after shooting and killing four people in a town about 30 miles south of Atlanta early on Saturday. Authorities have identified the suspect as Andre Longmore, and they say he's in his mid-50s. Escape prisoner Michael Burham has been captured following a week-long hunt for the dangerous fugitive in Pennsylvania. Donald Trump on Saturday night was addressing supporters in West Palm Beach, Florida. Presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is under fire after suggesting COVID-19 was designed to be ethnically targeted. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is said to be doing well after being rushed to a Tel Aviv area hospital on Saturday, suffering from dehydration. Netanyahu will remain in the hospital as doctors continue doing tests on the 73-year-old. I'm Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. We are here in the second hour, and we have time for you if you want to join the show. The number is 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in on the Ripple court ruling by a federal district court that came out this week that a lot of people are cheering on. They're saying, yeah, this is good for the cryptocurrency industry. Now it's okay for Coinbase to sell Ripple. Coinbase has come back and they've relisted Ripple. Ripple's one of the top 10, maybe top 5 or so. That's probably in the top 10 cryptos.
This is just like slaves appealing to their master.
It is.
You know, oh, the master allowed us to have a dessert at dinner time this week. Oh, praise you, master. Praise you.
Well, and the reason for it is because that's where all of the money is. You can't get any money in any of this stuff unless, like, any huge, huge quantities of money unless you appeal to something that is allowed for the slaves.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of institutional and individual money that wants to transduce into crypto because they know that it is a technology that is far superior to any other thing that has ever been invented on planet Earth that I'm aware of as far as anything that can do what it can do. And so there's all this money that wants to go into it, but they're all afraid. afraid of what the masters will say. All the real goons with the big guns. Right. I'm talking about the nuclear weapons, the real assault weapons, right?
Yeah, Ripple isn't going to go to prison. The executives aren't facing criminal counts in this particular case. But they are facing financial ruin, and most people don't want to lose their business. So they tiptoe around, and they ask government for permission. And, of course, the SEC, as we learned, doesn't know how to give permission for cryptocurrency because their laws don't actually mention cryptocurrency. They were written in the 1930s. I mean, these are ancient laws, ultimately.
It's just time for everybody to start standing up for themselves, including these cryptocurrency companies.
That'd be nice. Unfortunately, it's easy to say that when you don't have $1 billion on the line, right?
I mean, it's just as easy to say it.
Well, except that you lose money by standing up for your rights against the people who are printing money.
Right. I mean, look what's happening to the Crypto Six. Our co-host Aria is in prison right now for an 18-month sentence on what is essentially a paperwork violation.
Yeah.
But they didn't come after her with just a fine. They wanted to put her in prison to send a message, which is what the judge said at her sentencing.
The harm is the harm.
He wanted to send a message to everybody that you better have your government permission slip. Even though there is no permission slip for selling cryptocurrency, they're just trying to shoehorn everybody into this regulation that was written decades before cryptocurrency was ever created. But the big question here, I think, in this Ripple case is, will this ruling that's being celebrated right now in a lot of these cryptocurrency circles, will this ruling actually help these other people? Well, you could reference it in your case. Because remember, the SEC has opened a bunch of other cases against a bunch of other cryptocurrency companies.
And they're not stopped. They're not done.
Yeah, they're not going to pull out. They're not going to say, oh, shoot. Ah, shucks. We didn't get a total victory in that case.
I was trying to take over the world, but, you know, someone told me not to.
Yeah, we're just going to go home. We're folding it in. Cancel the cases. No. They're going to go forward with this because, as far as they're concerned, this is just one little district court judge in New York. It's a big state, no doubt. Big, you know, district. But it's just one district court judge ruling. They can appeal this ruling, and they likely will because, again, they have no limit to their funds. Further, they can go to these other district courts in California and Florida or wherever it is these other cases are filed, and they can roll the dice with those district court judges and say, maybe these other judges will rule completely in our favor. Either way, whoever it is they're going after right now, Coinbase, Binance, etc., they all got a lawyer up, and they got to pay big monies into their attorneys just to fight these cases for however many years it's going to take, rather than focus on building their business, improving their customer service.
But the point still stands. The only way that we're going to get through this is for people to begin to stand up for themselves and their businesses.
That's the larger point.
Like the outcome is, I get that. Like, people be like, oh, gosh, they have all the guns, and they're going to come after me and threaten me to put me in jail. Like, and so they're going to cower. I get that that's what's going to happen now. But that doesn't stop the tyranny. That doesn't stop the persecution. That doesn't stop the government from coming after anybody and everybody who has ever dealt in cryptocurrency for some manufactured reason, because they want to control you. And until people start standing up for themselves and their neighbors' businesses and each other, then the tyranny is just going to continue and the government will always win.
It says here in this story from Reuters, the SEC has brought more than 100 enforcement crypto actions, claiming various tokens are securities.
And that's just the SEC. That doesn't include the FBI. That doesn't any of the other alphabet agencies that are prosecuting cryptocurrency people and
CFTC
organizations.
The CFTC is one of them.
Right.
So I'm sort of skimming my way through the actual court release, like the court document.
The ruling?
Yes.
How many pages is it?
It doesn't tell me, but there's just this one sentence that I think, or rather two sentences that I think really sort of wraps up the entire, the whole sentiment here. Here the defendants argue that XRP does not have the character in commerce of a security and is akin to other ordinary assets like gold, silver, and sugar.
Fair argument.
Right. This argument misses the point because ordinary assets like gold, silver, and sugar may be sold as investment contracts depending on the circumstances of those sales.
Mm.
So I think that's really the crux of this whole thing.
I see.
So what they've determined is XRP isn't a security, but if you wrap that into a contract, then it can be sold as a security in the same way that gold is not a security because it doesn't have that like counterparty risk. risk or anything like that, but you can wrap that into a security.
Okay, but what is a security? You have a test about this, right? This is a court test.
Yeah, the Howey test that we've mentioned a couple of times in the previous segment here tonight. It consists of four elements, often referred to as prongs. According to the test, a transaction is a security if it is, one, an investment of money, two, in a common enterprise, three, with the expectation of profit, or four, to be derived from the efforts of others.
Yeah.
Or four?
It says or four.
Okay.
And so it's a...
But it has to meet...
one, two, three, or four, I guess.
So it has to meet one, two, and then either three or four?
That's what it sounds like, according to this definition from Cointelegraph.com.
And this, as I understand it, was created by the courts. The Howey test was not something created by the legislature.
I would look
to somebody
like
Pecos I'm pretty sure it requires all of those elements. Sorry, what was the question?
Some guy named Howey invented this, but was it a
invention? It wasn't Howey that invented it. It was
Supreme Court case,
right?
According to Investopedia,
right? Exactly. Howey was the case.
So who invented the test?
The courts.
The courts.
Yeah. The courts, they took a look at this case, and they said, okay, here is how we have come to the certainty that this was a security. It's because it met these requirements.
Sounds like more legislation from the bench. Yeah.
And this goes all the way back to 1946, by the way.
And you can divide that into three or into four. So an investment of money in a common enterprise are usually considered to be two different points, and then the other one is either with the expectation of profit to be derived from the efforts of others, or you divide that into the expectation of profit and the derived from the efforts of others.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
So, for example, gold, definitely not a security in and of itself. But if I make a contract with you where I'm doing something with that gold for you so that you will gain a profit from it, that's a security.
Gold is not an enterprise, though.
Well, they describe this as a very wide thing.
Right, but like if, for example, I say, okay, I will trade this gold for you.
He's the enterprise.
Right. Then I'm the enterprise that you are investing money in. So even though the gold itself isn't a security, I can use that.
It's the contract that's the security.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's exactly the difference. And that's what the judges ruled on this is like, well, because you used XRP in this particular way, you turned it from a commodity, basically, into a security. In the same way that you can turn gold from a commodity into a security by putting it into this contract. Where you fulfill the Howey test.
And where does government derive the right to prosecute people for transacting voluntarily?
They don't have a right.
Complacency.
They derive it from their willingness to use violence. That's where it comes from.
Well, and because people want them to, fundamentally. Because here's the thing. Like, I can't go out there and be violent and collect taxes. It's too expensive. It's way too expensive. If people even slow down their efforts to help me, it's going to be very expensive for me to just use force to acquire value.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, if I have those people at least not getting in my way, frequently helping me out and considering me especially honorable for extracting wealth violently, well, then it is really cheap for me to extract that wealth. So really, the biggest part of this is very fundamental. People believe that the government is good, and that every action that the government does is good, and their failure to perform these actions, no matter how violent, is actually a bad thing. And until people change that perspective, then it will continue to be cheap enough for them to keep violently stealing from people. But when people change their mind and they apply the same standard of moral and ethical behavior to the government that they would apply to a corporation.
Or their neighbor.
Then all of a sudden that arithmetic shifts dramatically and it simply isn't profitable to extract through violence. in comparison to, you know, trading actual value in good and service.
Speaking of those people, this case is going to continue to a jury, by the way. According to the Reuters story, the SEC won a partial victory as the judge found the company's $728.9 million in XRP sales to hedge funds and other so-called sophisticated buyers amounted to the unregistered sales of securities. So that's the alleged violation. She ruled that Ripple's marketing aimed at institutional investors made it clear that the company was, quote, pitching a speculative value proposition for XRP that depended on company efforts to develop the blockchain infrastructure behind the digital asset. She says a jury must decide whether the people at XRP aided the company's violation of the law and that the defendants cannot argue at trial that they lacked so-called fair notice that XRP was a, it says a cryptocurrency, I think they mean a security here. Quote, the law does not require the SEC to warn all potential violators on an individual or industry level. So she's saying, you guys are going to trial on this particular thing that I found you liable for, and the jury will decide the liability.
Do you suppose that they will exclude, ban, bar from the jury people with any financial background?
Yes.
People with any cryptocurrency background.
Definitely.
So how does one expect to get a fair trial without people knowledgeable on the subject?
You don't. So, yeah. What else? Okay, so they're going to keep doing this, and the other cases out there I don't think are really going to be helped by this because there hasn't been any Supreme Court decision. There hasn't even been an appeals court decision, and the SEC is going to want that, especially in this case. So I think it's likely that you will see them appeal this decision, that the portion of the decision that was against them. Again, they did get a favorable decision, but they also got an unfavorable, so it's a mixed bag for them. They're likely going to appeal that and see what the appeals court has to say about it.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if they're even going to appeal that at this point, because it is very difficult in that world to go against your fellow judges. You basically have to explain yourself and say why that judge was mistaken on this ruling, and you stick your own neck out to disagree with other judges. So if you say they were wrong for the following reasons, and then other judges say those reasons don't make any sense, it can be a career ender for you.
For the appeals court?
Yeah, for the judge.
The original judge.
If the original judge, such as in this case, in the
appeals court is going to be at least three judges.
Right. So in the appeals court, if those judges decide, okay, you were wrong, and here's why you were wrong, and then that ends up going to, say, the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court finds in favor of the first judge and not
that
in favor
of the... That looks bad for the appeals court, sure.
Incredibly bad for those judges. It can be devastating for their careers to say,
why
would
the SEC care about that?
Why would the SEC care about this? Because they don't want to risk it.
I don't know if it's a risk
for
them.
So if the SEC appeals and they lose, then it's basically set in stone at that point.
That's bad.
And that says here is a hard limit on what the SEC's powers are. And I don't think the SEC is willing to risk setting a hard limit on their powers.
Yeah, it could be.
Unless, of course, they are really certain that they will win the appeal.
It's hard to know.
That would be my tactical estimate of the situation.
Hmm. Well, time will tell in this particular case, and it's ugly.
Yeah. Now, I still think that this is by far the best news that we have heard in terms of cryptocurrency ever, as far as any of this stuff, any of the court decisions or how it's being prosecuted or any of this. It's just been bad news, bad news.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And this has been, I think, the first break that we have ever gotten. And I think that this will lend itself to a lot more investment in cryptocurrency now that people know, like, okay, well, I just have to be careful that the way I get it wasn't a security, but the cryptocurrency itself is definitely not a security.
Well, definitely isn't the word I would use to describe a federal district court decision.
Yeah.
One district court decision. So we'll see what ends up happening cases.
I think people have kicked off the party a little bit early.
Too soon. Absolutely. I agree. But hey, You know, let them go ahead and have their party.
I mean, sure, celebrate the little win in the war. You know,
but yeah, that's all it is. That's all it is.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's like, oh, you know, you took this one tiny island, but like you got the whole rest of the earth to figure out yet.
Right. And I think
they only blew one of your legs off. That's all.
Well, and I think it's also important for this to be framed in the proper way. Like, what exactly is this all about? Like, the whole thing. Here's what this is all about. This is all about making sure that the only people who get rich are their chosen people.
Yes.
Qualified investors. Verified. Lawyered up, extremely rich people.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only people who are allowed to become wealthy. And that's what all of this has to do with, is making sure that the little guy can never have a chance of getting wealthy. Because even if the exchange, as they did indeed when this news had broken, says, okay, we are not going to trade any more of this token. We're done trading this token for the day. Probably because they ran out of the actual token and can't actually sell it to you anymore. Even if an exchange does that, you can still trade for this token. There can still be someone who says, you know what, I think this is as high it's gonna go. I'm ready to sell. And someone else who's like, you know, I think this has still got some room to grow. I'm going to buy it.
Sure.
So the fact that you have these valuable things, that the sale of which cannot be stopped, is why this is absolutely so terrifying to the government,
yep,
to the SEC, to the court system even, and most especially to the people on Wall Street.
Because they should be terrified. They should be shaking in their boots. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The longer this goes on, the more government is going to act like a fish out of water. It's just going to start flapping away. People are going to get hurt before it's all said and done because government doesn't like it when they don't get their way, and they only have one tool, and that's coercion and violence. They're going to hurt people before this is over.
Mm-hmm. So when you have something where, like with the GameStop, oh, well, Robin Hood says you can't buy any more GameStop.
Yeah, they halted the trading on
it.
Oh, and the bank stocks, too, recently.
Oh, yep. They've halted the trading. Nope, that's too volatile.
Yep, it's going down too fast.
Yep. You little guys are making way too much money on this.
That's so hilarious that that's like their new thing. Back in the day, the market was just allowed to open and close at its prescribed times on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, oh no, we're going to close early today, guys. It looks like things are going to crap.
It's like, it's a banker's holiday.
Right.
Hey, you know what? It sounds like today listenership is down on the radio. I think we'll just stop the show right here, Ian.
Yeah, but that's simply not possible for cryptocurrency. Now,
no, it's 24/7.
You can turn it down a lot. You know, if all of the exchanges are like, you know what, we're not going to let you on board to that currency today.
That's
well,
a problem.
It's going to turn it down, but it can't turn it off.
That's right.
Whereas something like, oh, GameStop stock, well, we're not going to let you trade that, and that's all she wrote. You cannot go, oh, well, I will privately trade that. No. It isn't actually yours. You just have an agreement with someone who has actual access to it.
What's going to be fun is when cryptocurrency, the blockchain technologies, these organizations, whether they're decentralized or not, when they find a way to work around the stock exchange, the stock market, right, to where they can operate off hours, whereas the stock exchanges can't or don't because of their own self-imposed rules, that's going to be fun. Because when the stock market and the stock exchange become secondary to blockchain technology, organizations, right?
Mm-hmm.
There will be an inversion. We've seen it happen with the internet, right? We saw the internet used to run over copper wire,
right?
You used to have a modem that made a horrible sound when you plugged it in. And now, that's all been inverted. All the copper's been replaced with fiber, right? So now it's all digital. And now telephones, which used to run over copper exclusively, have been digitized and absorbed by the digital market.
Right.
So we'll see that same inversion with the financial markets.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time.
Well, and I just, based on what you were saying there, it made me curious. What is the stock market worth in the United States? According to a search, it says the New York Stock Exchange, being the largest stock exchange in the world, has a equity market capitalization of nearly $24.3 trillion U.S. dollars as of May of 2023. The current crypto market is, I believe, over $1 trillion in value. I'll give you a quick check on that from
like a 25X.
1.2.
Okay.
1.25 trillion. So
a nice round layman's numbers, it's a 25 to 1.
Yeah, so it's not within striking distance quite yet, but it's in the, I would say it's in the ballpark, right? You know, like it's in the trillions at this point, so just got to get up to 25 trillion and then it's going to be on par.
Yeah, and I think
it's possible.
And I think what really, really terrifies both the very rich Wall Street people and the regulators, but I repeat myself, I think what truly terrifies these people the most is that we will go around their entire stock market system.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that just in the same way as you have, say, okay, well, I'm going to have a tether to the dollar, so if you want to at any time, I have enough, and I can show you that I have enough, that I can turn these into $2 for you, that you might just do the same thing with, say, GameStop stocks.
They
and
have
here's my
that.
GameStop stock pegged cryptocurrency.
They have those.
So that, oh, well, the market's closed, or we're not trading that on Robinhood anymore, but here I am on a decentralized exchange with a GameStop stock pegged cryptocurrency.
At 3 in the morning on a Sunday.
At 3 in the morning on a Sunday in Taiwan, and you can still get it in New York.
Right.
I don't know what blockchain it is, but I have heard that those things exist. They have these things that are somehow pegged. I don't know how it works. I've not taken the time to look into it, but they have sort of quote-unquote stock cryptos that are associated with Tesla and Apple Computer and, you know, you name it. I don't know if it's all of the stocks. It might just be the biggies or something like that. And I have no idea how the price oracles work with that, but that's already here.
Right. And that's what scares them. Mm-hmm. Because then you have a situation where, like, so many hedge funds have shorted whichever stock it is. Like, they've all made these enormous bets that this will go down in value, and here you are pumping up the value so all their crooked friends that can regulate these things say, oh, well, we can't trade this anymore. But there you are, still trading it, destroying their shorts, and you might end up crashing things like BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street and all of these horribly corrupt organizations that have been keeping us down in the first place. That scares them.
The one thing that the difference that people need to know is that cryptocurrency, blockchain technology is based in math. It's not based in human belief. It's not based in fear. You can't be manipulated by propaganda. Only humans can be manipulated by propaganda. Cryptocurrency cannot. We got more coming up here. Hour number three is on the way. You can join the show. Bring up whatever's on your mind. The number is 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.